I was running the board for the countdown and everything, and we got a call from Charlie saying that he couldn't come in, and that Susan was a few hours away by train, and of course we had to go on and talk about the snow and everything, and Shelley was gathering news, and nobody was around to tell us what to do, and she had the faith and the confidence in me to let me go on the air myself and actually be a jock for a couple of hours. And I was nervous as all heck, and but she helped me, guide me along, and she saw in me what I guess I've always wanted to see myself, and I'll never forget that. I'll also never forget the fact that I made you sit and watch Melrose Place.
But I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, but the following week you said, you know, I had to tune it in just to see what was going on.
It's true, but you know what, Kev Head? You're on my audition tape, too.
Sounds like a threat.
There you go.
No. And are you going to tell everyone what you are going to be doing now? Because we're so proud of you. Please share it with everybody.
Well, I didn't want to say anything to anyone because I know everybody is losing their jobs, including myself. And I've been fortunate enough to find out I'm not going to be out of work for long. I will be moving. I'll be leaving New York to Pennsylvania to do drive time for a little small little radio station out outside of Penn State. And it's only because of working with you guys and watching your just overwhelming desire to go out there and your enthusiasm and just working with Shelley and Catherine and David, and you guys have taught me so much more than I've learned anywhere up until this point. And as I go down there, I'll never forget any of you. I say that I guess you learn something new every day, and you should never pass up the opportunity to learn anything from anyone. And all the memories and the people, I hope to see you again somewhere soon. But I will never forget any of you.
Congratulations.
Go, Kevin.
Funny how this business, you say things like, you know, we may meet again. But the way this business is, careful what you say, Kevin. You may meet up with us again.
I hope so.
Randy, 25 people in the business. That's it.
Hey,
Randy. Randy?
Yes.
I know how upset Kevin is about all of this more than anybody, because when I come in here and do these public affairs shows, sometimes very early on a Thursday or a Friday morning, if I have to switch studios, it's Kevin I go to help me set up a studio that I'm unfamiliar with. Well, last Friday when I came in, a studio that he has often helped me set up, he's pushing all these buttons, nothing was working, and he said, I don't know what's wrong with this. Something's wrong. They've been in here, they've been fooling around with everything, nothing's working, I don't know what to do. So I said, calm down, Kevin, I'll go get Josh, the engineer. Josh comes in, pushes two buttons, and said, that's it.
Gee, thanks for sharing that. I'm going to get a call from Pennsylvania. We don't exactly need you anymore. Go back to buying breakfast for the morning crew.
4:31 at WNY on our final afternoon broadcast. Steve Warren, you have some comments from some of our listeners. I'd love to hear them.
I tell you, the faxes have just been rolling out. I'm trying to paraphrase some of the very dear remarks that people are sending in to us. But here's one from Digger the Dog. Has a dog print on it here. Digger's sending us. Digger Maroz and the family say, every day my masters leave the house. Sometime they tune in 103.5. In fact, all the time, all day long. I enjoy your on-the-air antics and wonderful songs you play. I will miss you deeply. Woof, woof. And then we have this one from our friends in Denville, New Jersey, Michael and Michelle, who said they just tried to fax names and addresses of people to keep the station country, but guess it just didn't work. But tell Cat and Dave it was a big pleasure to finally meet them at the Expo. They're big Patti Loveless fans. They plan to continue to be great country music fans and wish everybody the best of luck. Here's a fan from Timmy Carney from Long Island. I feel compelled to write because my heart is broken. I've been a country fan for 7 years, and I've only listened to your station during that time. My fiancé became a country convert last June after we went down to South Carolina to visit my dad, and he really loves it now, especially Shania. I've never done anything like this before, but feel this is a must to let you all know that you will all be missed. And it just goes on and on and on.
It's 4:32 at YNY. I want to jump to the phone here because he's working this afternoon over at Metro Traffic and has been working a lot here lately. A former staff member who we have great fond memories with, Ray Rossi's on the phone. Hi, Ray.
What a faux pas that was, Randola. Metro Traffic, indeed.
Whoops. Oh, okay. Oh,
actually, I'm kind of jumping around right now between the eights if you kind of catch my drift.
I understand that.
But I just wanted to share a couple of my very fond memories of WYNY with all of you, and thank especially there's one person I really have got to thank, and I would hope that he's checked in by now. It's the WYNY's first program director when it was a country station, and that's Mike O'Malley. Mike was a mensch, truly was. I won't say an innovator, but certainly was a unique individual in that he allowed somebody like me to join the staff of WYNY back in 1990. And eventually allowing me or giving me the opportunity to create the whole Rossi Posse thing, which was intense fun for somebody like myself who comes from a top 40 background. And I just want to thank all of you, especially the members of the Rossi Posse that remain with the radio station, folks who have had a chance to meet at all the different events that we have done throughout the months that I've been with WYNY. Really, what more can I say? It's got to be one of radio's great audiences, and I give you all a deep bow from the bottom of my heart. I thank you all very, very much for bringing me into the fold, for accepting me, and for allowing me to have as much fun as I've had. And especially to the all the wonderful broadcasters that I've had the pleasure of getting to know at WYNY. I wish you all the best of luck and Godspeed. I know that we'll all meet up again soon.
Thank you, Ray.
Really, it's my pleasure.
Hey, good luck over at Shadow.
There you go.
Hey, Ray, it's Shelley.
Yeah.
I need your wife's crepe lock recipe again.
Oh, that's right. You never got that.
Well, I had it, and then I lost it, but I could sure use it again. And my love to your family, and thank you so much for phoning in.
You know, it's just a funny thing that I wanted to share with you, because I remember when you were talking about leaving WPLJ, and I remember I was still at WPLJ at the time under a different nom de air.
He was Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, it was the Bubble Bobble. And I remember being Bobby Valentine. Nobody knows what you're talking about, Bobby Valentine.
Yes, Bobby
Valentine.
But
we won't talk about that. Anyway, I remember being on the other side of the fax machine when those faxes were coming in, and, you know, a lot of times we're told in this industry, you know, disc jockeys really aren't important to the overall scheme of things. But I tell you what, you would never know it by those faxes. And you would never know it by the outpouring that's been going on today. Just one real quick story, and then I'll let you all go. Last night, we had stopped into the video store by a CZ Video in Manalapan, and my daughter was wearing my old WYNY jacket. And the girl behind the counter, who couldn't be any more than 17 or 18 years old, looks at the jacket and she said, "Will you tell me what's going on with that radio station?" So I looked at her and I said, "Well, you know, they'll be going off the air as of 5:30 Monday morning." She said, "No! Don't tell me that! I can't pick up 92 in my room! What am I going to listen to? What's going to happen to Dandy Dan?" And I was completely frenchotted. I was at a loss for words. I just did not know what to tell her. And as we're leaving the place, my daughter turns around and says, "Well, thank you for ruining her day." Well, I tell you what. I mean, I can only hope that her day and your day and everyone's day or week or month or whatever it's going to be is not ruined for too long, and that somebody else picks up the ball and runs with it.
Good idea. We appreciate that, Ray.
All right, really.
We think so. Thanks, buddy.
My pleasure.
Ray Rossi, folks, thanks for checking in with us. All right. Well, we've heard from just about everybody. I think there are a few people that can't call, I'm sure, that aren't even in the area. But it's been a great afternoon. We heard from Jim Kerr. Ray's called. A lot of people have called. And we're not done yet. It's 4:36, and we'll be back here at YNY. 103.5. WYNY, New York's country station. 4:45 in the afternoon here at Y&Y. That song by Patti Loveless, How Can I Help You Say Goodbye, that was a rough one. That was that we're listening to that in here. And as the hour grows near, as we head towards 6 o'clock, we're going to get a little more melancholy. I can feel it coming, but we're going to try to keep this on a very upscale. We're very happy and very lucky to be talking to you this afternoon. Well, thank you.
What's that?
This is a box of puffs.
Oh, the tissues have arrived.
This won't be enough. Is there more? Okay, good. Dandy Dan has arrived. He is in the building.
Yay!
For those of you that have been calling and wondering, he's going to be with us very, very soon. In anticipation of that, we have a little extra time here, and a couple of things need to be said. I have Catherine over here to my right.
You know, we've talked so many times today about different memories that we all have about being here, and I have a ton of them, and I know none of you know me for being able to talk very much. So I won't tell them all to you, but, you know, when I first came here, the radio station flew me out here, along with David, to interview and talk about the possibility of coming to work at WYNY. And two things stand out in my mind from that day, aside from my incredible nervousness about the prospect of not only moving back home, but getting to work in New York. One was from the minute I walked into the building and people realized that I was here to think about taking the job and everything, it was never like, well, nice to meet you. We hope you think about coming here. Every single one of you was like, well, when you get here, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and this is going to be great because of that. It was like I already worked here. That's the kind of environment that has always been here, and I tried very hard as other people came into the building after I was here to kind of carry that on and make everybody feel welcome right away, because I remembered how special that was to me. And the other thing that stands out in my mind is a meeting with a gentleman who is not with us today, and I would just like to mention for a minute, I'd like to mention Steve Candulo.
You're here.
It was the first time that I had ever sat down in a meeting with a gentleman who sat in a baseball cap tossing a tennis ball in the air and very casually said, so what do you dig about radio? And that was all he wanted to talk about. He didn't want to talk about how much money do you want or what can you do for me or when are we going to get this number or what's going to happen with that part of the business. He wanted to say, what is it that you love about radio? Tell me why you want to work in radio. And that was all he really cared about. And you can tell by the people he hired that was what he and Chris, our PD, were all about. They weren't about necessarily making the most money or being the flashiest. They were about having a good time and bringing something to the listeners that they would enjoy and they would get to be a part of. And that's always been the philosophy for the time that I've been here. And that's very rare. I really enjoyed that. So, Steve, I hope you're listening. We love you. And we really wish you were here with us today because you're a big part for all of us.
Yeah, really. Yes. Thank you, Steve, wherever you're doing right now. I know he's listening.
You know he's listening.
He is.
You know, really, it's a testament to him if you love the staff at WYNY, because basically this is the man who held us all together. He was our leader, and he was the one who had to set the tone for us, and he was the one who taught us all about how this is family. This isn't just about business. This is about people. This is about lives. I'm not going to be money first. I'm going to be people first. And Steve, that's how we know you, and that's why we love you.
This man who loved country music. He grew to love country music.
He didn't know Bupkis about country.
Bupkis. Hey, look who's here, you guys.
Get over on that microphone.
Danny Daniel.
Talk about your entrances. For heaven's sake. Dan, sit down.
Daniel.
Dan. Good to see you, sweetie. Using one of our favorite words again, bupkis, huh?
Get them in, you know.
When I got up this morning, that described the strength that I had. Bupkis, nothing.
How do you feel? Are you okay?
I feel great. I would have been here when you called me, but I've been doing a lot of hugging in the hallway here, you know. We've been loving our audience, and they've been loving us back, but there are a lot of actual physical bodies that you can see and have seen the last two or three days in the building. Our wonderful staff, the on-the-air staff and our support staff, and a lot of spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends and children here today and the whole thing, and a lot of pictures being taken, and the word picture came to my mind and a few moments ago that... it's the whole weekend has been kind of like a family portrait. We've talked about going through, you know, all the steps of loss that you have to go through. First, it's shock and disbelief and denial, and then you get into anger, and maybe some people are still at that step, and that's okay because they'll progress, and then they'll get to that bargaining thing, like, well, I can do something about it, and then we're in the mourning, and then we're into acceptance. But the word picture just kept coming to me, and it's really like a family portrait, and not one that you can or would even want to carry in your wallet, take out and show people, because the edges would get frayed. But it was one of those family portraits that you'll always carry in your heart, one that you'll never forget, one that will never fade, one that you can keep looking at, and I know that I will. And that's kind of like the feeling I have right now. I mean, I'm physically surrounded by a lot of people that I really care about and who I know who care about me, and there are a lot of people hearing this conversation that I care about, and I know they care about me too. There's somebody out there. Yeah, come on, bring my wife in here. Bring size 9 in here.
Size 9!
She's been out there talking to your wife.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on in, honey.
Been waiting for this moment for 15 years.
What'd you say?
So is all of New York. Who's size 9? Damn it.
Well, right, people say you love him for once.
People always ask, who is size 9? I said, well, my wife thinks it's her.
And he'll tell you the truth in the morning.
She's kind of been a little teary-eyed this weekend. And, we've had a lot of fun talking, and we were sitting in the car at the parking lot talking. On our way up, we've been in the area almost an hour, and on our way up here, so hope we didn't get here too late.
You're right.
Doesn't
on time
look like it.
Dan, you're right on time as usual.
Yeah, just like Jesus, you never know when he's coming, but he's always on time.
Oh my goodness, it's so humble.
Gospel 103.5.
Now we can reveal the new format.
All Jesus all the time, right?
Amen, brother.
All you people have sounded
places.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a real switch for you, too, isn't it?
Yeah. They may check your ID, though, up there when you get there. But heard Susan with you guys this afternoon, and Charlie, and everybody. It's good to have Susan here, too. Well, hello, young lady.
One of the young ones
Dina.
In there.
Shelley's children are here. I don't think you've ever had a chance to meet Dina, have you, honey?
I think down in Disney World, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're at Disney World together in the whole thing. What's going on with you, Randall?
Well, I have my family here today. I'm so glad they could come up. My wife Patty's here, and my 6-year-old Andy is...
playing kick.
Turning off the lights.
Keeps turning the lights off in here.
He's got his Jersey Devils jersey on. They're playing. They're kicking a beer can that somebody tried to.
It's a paper cup, actually.
Somebody showing their. Remember when we used to show our strength by crushing the beer can, and now that they're.
I raised him well, didn't I?
Yeah. So easy to do now.
Lisa, learn some lessons here about Nico. Don't leave the beer can.
I'm trying to teach him already.
I know.
I feel like that we have a real head start on you. That. I'm so glad that you are here. This has been a moment that for the afternoon, I mean, it's we've had a lot of fellowship and caring, but having you here completes the cycle.
Well, I wouldn't have missed it for anything, even though you and I talked about it earlier in the week, are you coming Sunday? And I said, well, I don't know, because by the time I do my last official Dan Daniels show on Saturday, well, I have said everything that I want to say. Well, I've completed my closure. I don't know how I could not have been here. Even if I'd just showed up and not even been in the studio and said anything, just to see all you guys, you know, was great for me. When Shelley and I was grateful to have Shelley with me in the studio when I completed my last Dan Daniels show on 103.5 WYNY, if I may say that again, yesterday. And we had a chance to say some things that we truly felt about each other and about our listeners and about the state of the world. And my wife and I are today, we were talking about making a difference. If nothing else, throughout my life, I've always wanted to make a difference, and no matter what my chosen career. And when you think about the people who make a difference in our industry, usually they're people who do talk shows, I guess. And I suppose that a lot of people who play music for a living really underestimate themselves when they don't think that they can make a difference, especially if the format calls for you're not being able to speak more than 8 seconds, you know, or 10 seconds or 15 seconds or whatever, or, you know, shut up and play the music. And that's what the people really listen for, is the music. I think country audiences everywhere have proven that they treat the people on a country radio station almost with the same kind of reverence that they treat the stars who make the music. And we've all been fortunate enough to bask in that kind of glow. But I think in 12 seconds that you can make a difference. You may have to edit yourself or whatever. You don't always have to get up on a soapbox and say it. But my wife is telling me today, she said, you know, I have been thinking a lot lately about the fact, a lot of people have brought it up over the weekend about the difference that you have made in their lives, the people that you work with and the people who listen to you. They tell you at personal appearances, they tell you on the phone, they tell you in the mail, and in the past several days on the telephone live as part of our new format, Country Talk. Charlie Berger came up with a new format. It's called Country Talk. We're probably the most listened to station in New York right now. Right? With this new format we have.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. There'll be a consultant who'll come in and screw it up. Anyway.
Don't hold back, Dan.
My wife has said she's very proud of the fact that... Well, what are you saying? Come on. She's so shy. She's always in the background. And she's never been a woman that I've even thought of as someone who, you know... While she lives for me, she doesn't, I'm not the reason for her existence. I mean, she has her own things to say, and she's not just someone who lives in the reflected glow of some guy who's supposed to be a star or something like that. So you can say it yourself if you'd like to. Okay. But you can make a difference, and you don't have to do a talk show, and you don't have to take 3 hours to say it. You can do it between records. If you really just do your homework and just plan every day and just come from a good place in your heart, people get that. People who listen get that. I mean, all of us have had people tell us things that they heard us say we'd already forgotten about. But when your heart is full of intention, when you walk into the room and you say, I'm going to do the best show I can do today, and I know that it's been very rough of late, our all knowing what was going on, that, man, it was like I was saying, well, today, man, my 100, I'm going to give it 100%, but my 100% is probably only going to be 80% of what I could do, say, last May, or maybe my 100% isn't as good as Randy's 80% or whatever, or... But as long as you give it 100%, as long as you have the intention, you never know how you're going to touch people's lives. You never know who's going to tune in. You don't, it's really like the teachers of the world who stand up in front of that class and through their teaching methods and through their lesson planning, it's like throwing that rock into the river or that rock into the ocean. The ocean is never, ever the same because the waves would have broken differently had it not been for the added weight from the school teacher. So I have a great deal of respect for educators, but I think we kind of fall into that category too because we have a very powerful instrument in this microphone. And we really can make a difference in people's lives, either positively or negatively. Which brings me to this point that, you know, I'm the oldest person in this room, I think. I haven't seen everybody in the room, but I still haven't fully learned this lesson. And it was the hardest lesson to learn, and maybe it was because of my own background, that we moved around a lot. When I was a kid, I was a poor kid. We were on welfare. We called it relief back then. And I grew up being a people pleaser. I grew up being a compromiser. I grew up wanting people to like me. I was always the new kid on the block, so other people already had their own little thing going. I mean, the Andes of the world already had their friends, and they were kicking that can around playing hockey when I arrive, and can I play? And the hardest lesson that you can learn is that you can't, that everybody is not going to like you. And even the people who do like you aren't going to like you all the time, or you can't please people all the time. And that's been one of the hardest lessons for me to learn. But I'm kind of getting there now. And I've been more at ease with myself in recent years as a result of that. But it still doesn't stop me from always, the first thing that I think of when I walk in the studio today is, even if I've just been chewed out, or if I had a fight with my wife, or I got a toothache, or my train was late, or somebody cut me off in traffic, or whatever happens, or maybe I'm worried about one of my kids, or my brother who was in the accident, or whatever, maybe my mom, my Aunt Leola now, who has Alzheimer's, am I going to make a difference today? That's more important than the paycheck.
You're listening to a man there that has made a difference in the lives of millions of people for the last 30 years in New York, Dan Daniel. It's 5 o'clock. We have another hour to share with you, and we'll be right back.
Attention, attention, country music fans on Long Island. By now you know that WYNY-FM is departing from its country music heritage in favor of another music format. This change does not leave Long Island without any country music radio station. Right now is the time to reach over, grab the least used button on your radio, and switch over to the new Country 740. AM radio is alive and well, and we're playing today's hot new country music for all of Long Island, all day, every day. Country 740 is Long Island's first real country station. We're committed to and focused on Long Island country music fans, Long Island country events, and even Long Island's country music bands and performers, with a weekly special called Home Cookin' on Saturday mornings. The new Country 740, today's hot country music for Long Island. Turn us on, lock us in, and crank up the country. Long Island's first real country station is the new Country 740, letting Long Island know what's hot in country music.
103.5 WYNY, New York's country station. In the 5 o'clock hour of our final live broadcast, coming to you from the main studio at WYNY, as we begin a series of toasts, and I've been waiting for this time all day.
You've been working hard.
Yeah, I'm ready to turn it over to Triple D here for a special toast. Oh. And I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Wait a minute. Well, when you get here, they put you to work, don't they?
Right to work.
Well, I'm kind of... I kind of emptied myself there for a moment, but I suppose all the best stuff comes from when you make yourself an empty vessel. It frees you of all of that stuff maybe that you've been carrying around inside that doesn't need to be there. It needs to get out into fresh air. But Steve Warren and I were just talking, and a great friend of ours, maybe she's been acknowledged by other people, this particular weekend, I know that I did acknowledge her as one of the persons instrumental in the success of country music, because she was the first program director of WHN when it went country in 1973. She hired me on four different occasions in New York, and so I owe her a great personal debt, but so does New York Radio. She was the boss of the Good Guys in the 60s. She conceived the idea and did something with it. It was kind of like, we were kind of like the a vaudeville version of the Beatles on a local scale, and most of the laughs and most of the punchlines came from her. And it's a little more difficult for her to do punchlines these days because she's she had a pretty bad stroke this last year, and she's having trouble even reading the mountains of mail that she's receiving from so many people in the industry. I speak of Ruth Meyer, of course, and there are people who are listening who know the name Ruth Meyer. And she was a connoisseur of wines, and fine French restaurants, and she knew her champagne, and we're about to drink some champagne, and the last few moments have been a little heavy. Let's make them a little light as we, with great meaning, do all drink to, you know, our good health and a good period of healing in the future. But Ruth right now would stand up and say, Defunce d'affiche, and my French is bad, which is kind of a loose translation of confusion to our enemies, and may we recognize them when we see them.
here. All right. Nice sound effect there, wasn't it?
Mine's empty.
We know that.
And on that note, John Barry sings Standing on the Edge of Goodbye on Y&Y.